Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and you're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is recorded live at the Latah Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And in the studio slash conference room with me today is the ever-present and all-wise, all-knowing Miss Denise.
You just like being silly. Hi, everybody. What an introduction.
Well, hey. Yeah.
We have to say nice things about each other because, you know, we don't always hear it other places, so it's okay.
That's right. That's right. When I want to have a good conversation with somebody, I talk to myself.
There you go. Me too. Actually, I talk to God, but yeah.
Yeah, and today on the show, it's going to be kind of free form because Denise has had a lot going on, and I'm just getting back, just got back from a week in Nashville, Tennessee, where I got to listen to some awesome music, hang out in some really over loud bars, and having people stare at me while I slowly sip my $5 Diet Coke. Oh, my God, the cocktails in those places. I was with a group of people that are normal temperate drinkers, and what they call a well drink, just the cheap whiskey or whatever that they have there, a mixed drink is like $15 to $16. And that's just the cheap stuff. And, you know, if you want what they refer to as top shelf, you know, that good name brand Tito's vodka or, you know, Crown Royal or something like that. Well, you're going to have to take another loan out on your house for that because they're like $20 and up. It was crazy. But, man, the credit cards were flying. One interesting thing that did happen while I was in the bar is I was watching. We were in the second floor of five floors. And there was a bar there, and we were sitting at the bar because that was the only seating. But I watched the two bartenders, and these two women were flying. And we sat there for 4 hours and listened. I never saw them stop moving once. And then they have what they call the bar back, the guy that comes up and reloads the beer, puts more ice in their bins and stuff like that. He's sweating like a hooker in church, and he's flying up and down, refilling stuff, making lists, doing that. We actually tipped him. I tipped him like $20, and I said, like, dude, somebody that works as hard as you do deserves a good tip.
It sounded like they were both getting their cardio in.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was
a busy job.
Crazy. It was it was just
$15.
Like fun to watch the way they went.
That's not Moscow prices.
People. No, no.
Wow.
No, you get a $15 cocktail in Moscow, and it probably comes with a whole bottle. I don't know.
It's probably one of those, like,
tubs
with all the straws.
Yeah, right. Wow. Like the old Scorpion or something.
Although, yeah. I mean, I haven't been out to a bar in a while, so maybe I don't know what the prices are. Mostly because, I'm in recovery from substances and stuff like that. Alcohol wasn't, you know, whatever. But I just don't really go because I like to go to bed by 9 o'clock. So, you know,
right.
And that's no point
when,
in going
that's
to a bar.
When all the fun starts.
I guess I'm just too tired to stay out that late. That just wouldn't work.
Yeah. I know that feeling. I know that feeling.
So I don't know what drinks cost these days. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, in my case, they cost too much.
But definitely not $15. But no, yours could cost you your life. So
right. Exactly. My life. My house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that old parody of the Eric Clapton song, you know, sold my house, sold my car, sold my wife for cocaine. Do, 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 do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It can be a lot of fun. But I'm back from that and, you know, lessons learned. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we we did the Ryman Auditorium and saw a concert there with the artist whose name escapes me right now. And then we actually went to the Grand Ole Opry, which I, you know, was not something I thought I would ever do. Certainly wasn't on my bucket list, but it was a great show. And the theater is like spectacular. And we got to tour around the backstage area and see the dressing rooms and all the famous people that have been through there. So it was fun. It was a good trip. It was a good getaway. Now I'm stuck in Moscow for a while. I'm happy about that.
There you go. You've been vacationed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm all vacationed out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're kind of free forming it today. There's always stuff on my mind. I was sharing with Denise beforehand. I've had a lot of loss in family and friends in the last few months. It was like five people, one family member, one really, really close friend, actually two family members, my wife's aunt, my sister, and then a few people in my program, and then a really close friend. And they're dropping like flies. And, my sister and my wife's aunt were, my sister was 78 and my wife's aunt was, I think she was in her 90s. So, I mean, those sort of things, it's not like too huge a shock. Maybe the manner in which they die might be a little, but it's like, okay, you're getting old. That's a pretty good run. But then a close friend of mine's 6-year-old son passed. What the hell? And then our very good friend who was, getting up close to retirement age, police officer over in Seattle, he died very unexpectedly. These things that happen, just piling up and, causing me some stress. But I don't want to get too deep down that rabbit hole, because next week we're going to have Valerie Russo, who is a PhD in psychologist, and she's got a bunch of other initials after her name, and she's worked in this community doing counseling for years and years, and she was on the show once before. I think, Denise, I'm not sure.
I don't think you were in on that one.
I think you were doing your training down in Boise for your recovery coaching. But she's going to be back next week, and we're going to get into it on cool. that. She's a dog person. I'm a dog person. She's got these, had two. Now she's down to one little Boston Terriers. And so it's going to be sit, stay, grieve for next week. So make sure you tune into that. That's going to be cool. Other things going on. Well, we hit the unofficial start of summer. And so that means for me beating my half acre yard into submission. And it's time we did the second coat of paint. I think after 5 years, you probably should do it sooner, but paint's $100 a gallon now for good stuff, or so I'm told. And so we're getting started on stuff like that. But it's just nice to be outside. I've got color on my arms and my skin looks horrible. I should have moisturized. Getting sun, getting that vitamin D going, much happier. Have you been getting out and doing anything out of doors?
I mean, kind of. I would say that mostly I'm really loving the fact that it stays daylight so long in the evenings. That's really nice. And I think that that's been a big part of myself feeling better. And of course, it's very sunny in the morning, blaring in at probably like 4:30. That's fine right. too. I don't really mind that, but I do really, really like the extra sunlight. Yeah.
I think we're up to like 15 hours and 30 minutes of something of
daylight.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
And it'll keep growing till the beginning of summer.
Yeah, when I feel
it
like
starts
it's like
going
eight,
back
eight,
the other way.
Yeah, I feel like it's like 8:30 that it stays daylight till. It's pretty late.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, I have little passage lights around my house that are on a timer, and now they're on for like an hour a day.
Yeah,
it's like after 9:30, nobody's coming over.
Right. It says tonight the sun's going to set at 8:30. So
yeah,
it's lovely, lovely. Yes, we have some plans for next weekend to go spend some time in the sun and the water.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Going locally?
Going south,
or?
Yeah. South. Not too far away, about 40 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, I am, my next trip that I have planned is going to be in July. I'm going to go down, spend some time with my friend Dan, who's also been on the show before. We're kind of co-sponsor each other for different programs, and we're going to go probably up to around Lake Shasta and spend a few days drowning worms up in the mountains during the week when the rest of California is working.
Right.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. But, yeah, I love this time of year. I love that, you know, staying light later, which is such a absolute reverse from when I was a kid. I loved the wintertime because it got dark early, and that's when I could start being bad. You know, there's something about the darkness, you know, you hide all your behavior behind the darkness. Not that we were all that troublesome, but, you know, in those fall nights when it gets dark by, you know, like 7 o'clock, we'd go for a walk, take a couple doobies with us, and cruise around town. And
see that's probably more when the evenings were more fun. See, I'm a morning person now. I used to be a night person, but I'm a morning person. Middle-aged, you know?
Right, right. I, you know, I worked for that large corporation over in Pullman for a lot of years, and most of it was on second shift, was on swing shift.
That is late.
Which I think I'm kind of more of a night person. I seem to function better. We'll fix that. I seem to function better at night. And when I had to switch over and work in the daytime and start getting up at like 5 and 5:30 to be there by 7 or 8 or whatever it was, man, that was a heck of an adjustment.
That's a big change.
Yeah, it was a big shift, especially in the wintertime when, you know, I'm getting to work in the dark and leaving in the dark. It's like, even though the weather's cold and you don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time outside, it's like vitamin D deficiency to the max.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we already have that just living here, let alone in the wintertime.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Exactly. And you know what? And relating this to recovery, which is kind of what we talk about here most of the time, you know, that getting up early and having purpose and things to do, it really is better for me as far as my recovery goes, because, you know, I feel like I have a purpose. I don't want to spend the entire day in bed, you know, just avoiding life, because you can be sober and that can happen. I'm kind of dealing with a little bit of depression right now with some of that stuff I talked about earlier. But there was a time where I had a pretty severe case and finally decided to get some medication and work on it with counseling. But I just wanted to be in bed all day. I mean, I would get tired in the middle of the day, and I'm just going to take a nap. And then it's like from 1 till 5. Mm-hmm. That's not a nap. That's hibernation.
It's a long siesta.
Yeah, exactly. So I got to pay attention to that because that can be a sign.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so I'll talk about depression a little bit. Because I think everybody's dealt with it on some level. You know, it could be the what they call it, SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Mm-hmm. Seasonal defective disorder. Sorry, that's not right. you know, in the wintertime when you get, you know, vitamin D deficient and there's just not enough sunlight. And, you know, we can have fog here for weeks at a time where what little sunlight is available is not even getting through that. But it's a kind of an insidious disease because it sneaks up on you. It's not like where you break an arm and it's like, oh, I got to do something about this, you know, right now.
Right.
And you go to the doctor and you get into a treatment on you. They set the bone, you get a cast, you know, afterwards you work on your physical therapy, you build the muscles back up and that sort of thing. where depression can just creep up slowly over time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all those people passing in my life, that didn't happen all in one day. You know, that happened over a matter of like 3 months. And yeah, I found myself, I went to my doctor for a med check because I'm on a medication that needs to be monitored. And he's like, how are things going? And I told him, and he goes, you don't seem to be your normal bright, chipper self. And I only see this guy every 6 months. Mm. But evidently, I made some sort of impression. So anyway, he's like, so tell me how you're feeling about this. I'm like, you know, and we chatted for a minute. He's a great doctor, by the way. I'm not going to give his name out because everybody will want to go to him then. But
then you won't be able to get in.
That's right.
Yep, you got to keep that stuff secret, huh?
Selfish and
just
self-centered.
Kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, and he says, you know, I think you might be dealing with some depression. And I thought about it after he said that. And I went, well, you know what? I think you may be right. So we're going to do some investigation on that and see what's going on. But, you know, if you would ask me, am I depressed? I would say, I don't think so. You know, but then you got to listen to the people around you, too. It's kind of like addiction. You know, I'm just a partier. Well, if somebody who cares about you says, you know, you've been just a partying like every day for the last 6 months and, you know, your schoolwork's falling off or, you know, your boss is getting on your back all the time. You know, is it just because everybody else is, you know, in a bad mood or not liking you, or is there something you're contributing to the mess?
Yeah, yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you experienced that in your addiction with working when you're doing your cleaning, you know, people mentioning things.
I'm not so sure that they necessarily knew, but my family knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Substances don't make you your best self, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a stunting kind of a situation, you know. It's kind of hard to grow and evolve and walk into your purpose when you're, you know, priority is substances or drinking, stuff like that. And it just doesn't help your mind grow and learn the way it should.
No, you're actually, because you're trying to avoid that. I mean, I just avoided everything that got in the way of my drinking.
Yeah.
You know, because my drinking was the one thing that I thought made me happy.
Right.
You know, it didn't really make me happy. It just kind of numbed all the bad stuff, so I couldn't really feel it.
Yeah, and I think for me, in the beginning, those kinds of things made me happy, but then it starts to take a toll. It started to take a toll in my life, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You start losing things.
Yeah. Yeah.
The house, the car, the relationships, you know, the friends.
Right.
Those friends that were actual real friends, mm-hmm. who just are like, no, I can't handle being around you anymore.
Right, that's not their priority in the direction that they're trying to go into. Yeah,
yeah. There's a young fellow who's in my program, and we were chatting the other day, and you know, he's in his early 20s, yeah, which is kind of unusual for a you know, somebody getting into recovery from, and he's dual addicted, it's alcohol, and it was other substances as well. And he said he bumped into some people he used to hang out with. He's attending college, and when school got out, he went down to Boise, where his family is, where he grew up, and you know, was visiting with some of the old friends down there. And they were like seeing him like sober for probably the first time in forever. And they're like, oh, you seem a little, you know, a little different or something. And he was like, well, different bad or different good? And they're like, well, good, I guess, but you're not, you know, the old ready to go, do it right now kind of guy anymore. It's like you kind of slowed down or something. And he goes, that's exactly right. I slowed down. And you know, it's not something he noticed until they brought it up. You know, that he realizes logically that he's not going out and doing crazy partying stuff anymore. But you know, all of a sudden people, the expectation is there. Shouldn't you be like right? this?
Should you be bouncing all over the place?
Yeah, isn't that your usual thing? Yeah, and you're not people-pleasing and all those other things that go along with it. Yeah. So anyway, I'll be working around on that and see what's going on. And, you know, we'll probably touch on it again next week. I mean, because grief and depression are neighbors, I believe, and they do stuff like that. And you had, you know, without going into details, you know, you're just recovering from a whole bunch of craziness last week that...
I think if one of the three things that happened last week happened one at a time, it would have been crazy. But it was like three things all that happened all at once, and it was kind of tough. But I'm on the other end of at least two of those things, because the third one isn't my thing. It just broke my heart. But the two other things I think are going okay now. So
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, get a lot done really fast because you gotta fix these problems. And like, oh my goodness, but you didn't know that was a problem. And so there you go.
But, right.
Yeah.
Right. And why do those things always pile up? It seems like it's just that way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. It wasn't that long ago that it was winter about 3 years ago. And I was driving down a hill and got sliding on some ice, and I aimed at a tree rather than the car full of people who was causing me to pick something to run into because I couldn't stop. And I bent my car all up, not horribly, but bad enough that I couldn't drive it. So all of a sudden I was like, oh, great. Now I have to look at getting another car, you know. And I've been talking about getting a new one, but I've been saving up and, you know, kind of waiting for the time to be right for that. And this was not the time. And then, you know, it was also tax season, and Uncle Sam wanted a nice chunk of my buttocks for some reason, probably because I didn't withhold enough or something. And, you know, that by itself, and then with the car, and, you know, some other goofy thing happened. It piles up on you, and it's like, what's the point? You know, why are you putting me through this, higher power? I'm trying to do everything right, you know. But it turns out it's not a punishment. It's nope. just life happening.
It's just
happening.
Life, yeah.
And, you know, it turns out my car wasn't so bent up that, you know, my mechanic friend looked at me and said, oh, you just broke the Johnson joint. Those are like $50. I'll come over and put it in nice. For you. Give me a couple of bucks. And I'm like, okay, cool. And, you know, the other stuff ended up working itself out. Turns out I didn't need to buy a new car. So I didn't have to worry about that. And, you know, and these other things that go on in life, they just go on. And you work your way out of them.
Yeah. Sometimes it being all at once is kind of tough. But, you know, I just go, oh, well, I didn't die last week. That's good.
Right.
We all lived through it. And that's good.
Hey, and you know what? I think we might want to talk about, I was asking you earlier if your ITC class had started up and you.
Yeah, I'll share about that. So we have a class called Invitation to Change, and you know how everything likes to be in, you know, abbreviation letters. So it's called ITC, and this is on Wednesdays at 5:30 to 6:45, and this is a support group for family and friends of that have a loved one who struggles with addiction, and it's pretty cool. It's based on Beyond Addiction. And on their cover page, it says how science and kindness help people change. And so this was written by three PhDs, and it's from the CMC Foundation. And they decided to do a workbook for people to be able to go through that's 15 weeks long. And Sean and I took the training to be able to facilitate this group. And we just ended the group about a month ago, and we're starting up another one when we get some people who would like to join. And I just thought it was really helpful, honestly, for myself and for the participants. It was really great. Yeah. It's just really about having a space where you can learn to have compassion for your loved one who's going through this, get some tools, but also for yourself and being able to support yourself and take care of yourself, because it can be really stressful to have a child or a family member or a spouse or a friend who's struggling with addiction, because some of the things that can come to mind are, you know, how dangerous this could be. Right. Sometimes we're worried about our loved one overdosing or getting into an accident. And those are really big, real things. Mm-hmm. Also in this 15-week long class, there's also like the space to be able to talk through how to get them help if they're wanting to get help. Also, Sean and I are recovery coaches here. And so we know how to do that if there's a family member or a friend who's ready to make those steps. But even if they're not, even if they're just full-blown in addiction, not ready to change, there are tools and support to be able to help you walk forward in this.
Right. And, you know, something interesting, you mentioned there, you know, it could be a friend.
Yes.
So what exactly would be wrong about somebody who maybe doesn't have a friend mm-hmm. who's dealing with an addiction right now, but wants to come in and learn about how to deal with that in the eventuality they do?
So this wouldn't be the group for them.
Oh, you don't think
so? No, it would not. But Sean or I or any other coaches here would love to walk alongside of that person if mm-hmm. they want to learn something about this. Yeah. But this group is specifically for the members. For instance, I'm in recovery. Mm-hmm. So I've had experience with addiction, but this is how to support the other person. It's not for people who are in active addiction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's kind of a different thing. What are you thinking?
Maybe I'm misspoke there.
Yeah, but say it again.
I'm thinking about I'm just Joe Average on the street, and I have a lot of friends, none that are necessarily having an issue with substances, you know, right at this point, but maybe I see some people, I know some people that, you know, look like they might be developing it. So I want to learn how to be, I hate the term, but like kind of like an ally, so that I have the tools in case I meet somebody.
I think that would be a question for me and Sean to talk about.
Yeah.
Because when you're going through this book, you are giving example, or you're answering questions about the specific person that you're helping the scenarios with that. This isn't just general information. It's a support group and like tools to help you as you're walking through this in your individual situation with that person.
Right. Okay.
So it's more specific.
Okay.
You would need to actually have a family member or a friend who's struggling that you're walking alongside of. It's not just like general information. That's not really the purpose of the class.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, that makes perfect sense.
That is a good
sense.
Question. Yeah.
I thought I'd ask because, well, you know, we do, you know, for instance, we here have recovery coaching, not recovery, pure
volunteer training.
Pure volunteer training, which does touch on a lot of that.
And I want to share that Sean and I are doing that at the new Pullman Recovery Center on the beginning of next month. It is June 2nd and 3rd from 5 to 8 o'clock in Pullman. And I don't have the address memorized right at the moment.
Right.
But if you were interested in sitting in on that training, you would just call the recovery center here and ask for Aaron and you can get signed up. You'd want to do that pretty soon. You'd basically have today and tomorrow to do that.
Right. And speaking of the Whitman Recovery Community Center. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We're so excited. They're having a grand opening, too, this weekend.
They are, and I was just going to look up the information on that.
Yeah, and I'll look up the address because it's terrible that I don't have the address.
I believe it's this Saturday.
It is.
And I think it's
1 to 4.
11 to...
It's 1 to 4.
1 to 4. Okay. From 1 to 4. And the address is right here. 226 East Main Street in Pullman. Saturday, May 31st, 1 to 4 p.m. And they'll have coupons for ice cream at Neil's Coffee from Pups and Cups, music and giveaways, raffles, and learn how we're taking the stigma out of recovery. And they even have a Facebook page now. And you can follow them at Whitman Recovery Community Center. Wow, that's going to give you cramps in your hand. And they have a phone number, and it is 1-509-715-1111. So that's should be good. Yes. And here's the from our email, from the LRC email. Call for volunteers. Whitman Recovery Community Center is looking for volunteers to help in our mission to provide peer coaching to those in recovery from substance use and or behavioral health issues. Jobs include answering phones and greeting people, must be empathetic, enjoy working with people, have familiarity with recovery principles, and they have flexible hours. And they give the phone number again, but you're going to be doing that peer recovery training, which I've been through.
Yeah.
I believe it's like goes 2 hours, two nights a week.
Or it's 3 hours.
3 hours. Nights. Okay. Three hours, two nights a week. You learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in recovery a long time, but from a much different perspective, you know, doing the Alcoholics Anonymous program. But, you know, peer recovery is a much different thing.
Yeah. So it's pieces from the week-long recovery training through the state that you can take, and also the peer support training, and then like mental health first aid. It's mostly stuff pulled from that. And so it's condensed because it's only 6 hours, but it's some of the important things that that some of the employees put together thinking that it would be what people would need to know in the beginning if they were going to volunteer here.
Right.
Yeah, just to be able to have a basic understanding of things.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's not just answering phones. You know, I've been down here many times where, you know, I'll just walk in, just see how things are going. You know, I'm in the neighborhood or whatever. Didn't have a specific appointment, or I may have a question for Daryl. And it's actually pretty amazing how somebody will be sitting in here, maybe just chilling, waiting for something or working on something. And I'll just walk up and introduce myself and ask them how they're going. Mm-hmm. You know, how things are going. How are you doing today? How are you feeling? And because we're in this environment, I think, where, you know, this is where you can come and talk to people and work things out. You know, I've created some interesting relationships with people. And you know, they can run the gamut from just casual, you know, mm-hmm. tell them a joke, leave them laughing, I've got this drinking problem and, you know, I really want to work with somebody. Who do you know here that's, mm-hmm. that's cool that I can work with that, you know, it's not going to be too hard on me or whatever, you know, those silly things. Mm-hmm. And, it's funny when you reach out to somebody, how, you know, just putting your hand out can change their day pretty significantly.
Yeah.
So, you know, being a peer volunteer here, you know, you get exposed mm-hmm. to that. And then you also get to work with people, you know, yeah. working out there, you know, working with their recovery coach and working out a plan for them going forward, how they want to do their recovery. And you have, as a recovery coach, you have some specific things that you go over with them. But
yeah, so what, I was going to say, you know, our like? Volunteers, I know we've talked about it, our but. Volunteers, there is like levels that they go through here. And I don't know exactly how Day is going to do things over at the Whitman Center. So, you know, I can't really speak for them. But here there's a tier system that we go through to kind of get people in and understanding how to do things and then working up through different levels. Some people want to just come and sit and talk with people as they come in the door. And it's been really cool. Over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that there's people helping each other just in general, like just helping with things that they've resources that they've used as they're chatting out in the foyer here. So some people want to just do that, or some people want to come in and lead a class, maybe an art class or something else that they understand. Some people want to just come in and answer the phones, volunteer for a couple of hours to help out there and let people know that our appointments are here. And then some people want to just keep kind of continuing up to being able to work a little bit more with people. And, you know, that comes with a little bit of time. so that we know that people are ready to be able to meet right. with people, you know. And then, what am I forgetting? Yeah, and so Erin is our volunteer coordinator, and she's right. who you get a hold of if you're interested. Of course, you can call and leave a message for her or get transferred to her, and she gets people all set up on what that looks like. But there's also internships here for people who are going to school over at WSU or U of I that they right. can come here, and there's actually like an organized different kinds of things that they do, mm-hmm. getting to visit and sit in on drug court, mental health court stuff, you know, just so that they can get a little more hands-on. There's people with certain degrees that need to be able to have right. some internships right. and have some training and learn different kinds of things. So,
and,
yeah,
and
it's pretty good.
I've actually, you know, we've interviewed a few interns here.
Yeah,
we have. And one of them was just raving about the fact that the type of internship that you can do here is unlike any other operation like around town. There's a lot of counseling services mm-hmm. and whatnot. But what her thing was there's such a broad scope of things that we do here and people that we work with
yeah.
in different situations that it was, you know, like totally unlike any other opportunity
yeah.
that she investigated. So she was going back to, I think she was a U of I student. She was going back to U of I and just telling these, you know, underclassmen that are going to be in her position in the next year and have to do this internship and work with it. If you can get in there, go get in there.
Right.
And we've never seemed to have a shortage.
No, Erin does a great job getting volunteers and interns helping out throughout. Right now, it's a little quiet because, you know, it's summertime and stuff
right.
like that. So if you are interested in coming and volunteering or I don't know if they do internships because you're not in school, but I mean, I'm sure she could set you up if that's the case. It's been a while
right.
since I've been in college, so
right,
I don't
right.
know how these things work during the summer. But yeah, and so we definitely could use some volunteers yeah. during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and throughout the year, of course.
Well, yeah, and as far as internships go, a lot of them, like professional, you know, business-related internships, a lot of those happen in the summer because the availability is better.
Right.
You can actually get people in working, you know, full-time hours to, you know, satisfy. It goes beyond, like, just what you need for a particular class or particular discipline. You know, they want you to put in so many hours. But, you know, it looks good on your resume that, you know, you're required to do 2 hours or 20 hours a week and you did 40.
So, and I think for most of the programs that I've come into contact with people, I think 8 is about the most that they need a week to be able to volunteer to do the internship for the mm-hmm. for the program and for here. So,
right.
yeah, it just kind of depends, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, so, the person who knows all the things is Erin about it, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of which, I touched on it while we're talking about what it is. For the new center over in Pullman, that's going to be a big deal. That was we were kind of fortunate here. You know, we had Cindy right off the top, and RJ was here too. You know, she's gone on to other things, but Cindy, she's been here for 10 years since the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a few others that are, you know, Cindy's husband, he comes in and mm-hmm. helps out with things. Steve, yeah. he does the chess thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to play chess, I think, do you know what day of the week that we're doing that? That just started up like this month.
No, I had not actually looked closely at the calendar for that because I tried playing chess with him once and it was embarrassing.
Oh.
For both of us, mm-hmm. because I'm horrible at it.
I'm going to find when that is now, because
cool.
he sets up at least once a week.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, there's other things. And they're going to get those things together and over at Whitman. So if you're able to go over there this Saturday between 1 and 4, and you if you're a yoga instructor in Pullman and you want to do, you know, a day a week for an hour helping people with yoga, yoga is a great add-on to any recovery program. You know, we're straightening our minds out, but most of us have done some serious damage to our bodies. So, you know, it's important to, you know, that can be an important component of it. And there's other things too. You know, we've had artists here. We've done artists in residence here before. We haven't done it in a few years. But, you know, if you're an artist, you can come in and teach people how to, you know, give a cell phone photography class. You can teach people how to, we had one artist who actually taught people how to bind their own books and making their own books. And then we had people, an artist here who did what they call zines, which are like little micro comic books that, you know, are not necessarily comic in nature. They can be all sorts of interesting things. I think one person did a book of poetry and bound their own book. So if you're somebody like that and you, you know, want an outlet and want to, you know, help out and influence other people, absolutely, you know, come to the open house or just drop in when they're open. I think their regular hours are 10 till 2 right now, I think. I'm not positive. Over at the Whitman Center.
What? I'm sorry.
Their regular hours, I think they're 10 to 2.
I don't have the update on that. I'm not sure.
No, we'll find out.
I think it's longer than that. I think they're open till 5, but I'm not totally sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we
they're,
can check.
You know, because they, yeah, they do their thing.
Well, if you're there on Saturday,
yep.
You'll get all the information. Plus, you might even score some ice cream coupons. That
right,
would be cool.
Right. Yep.
So what else is going on this week? Anything?
So I was going to say we've started about a month and a half ago, doing all recovery meetings at noon on Wednesday. So if you'd like to come join us for that, all recovery is basically just, you know, anything that you are in recovery from or struggling with or mm-hmm. whatever. It's just like an open meeting of usually everyone goes around, kind of shares a little bit about their week, and then we'll do some popsicle stick questions where you kind of pick from a jar some questions, and we kind of go around about that. But yeah, it's just kind of chill, get to know each other, share what's going on, and yeah,
right? Because I know
it's a non-12 step, yeah.
Right? Because I was going to say, I know the AA meeting meets at noon every day of the week, except for Wednesdays.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a good opportunity to come in, get introduced to,
yeah.
you know, a way of, you know, establishing a little community around you.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things for me about AA is the fellowship.
Yeah.
The fellowship is a huge part of my recovery because in AA, we believe that, you know, we maintain our sobriety by sharing the message with other people.
Yeah.
You know, although we're hardly evangelical, but, you know, you have to go to the meetings to meet the new people
right.
to be able to, you know,
yeah, and that Wednesday,
help you with your sobriety.
Yeah, that Wednesday meeting is really the only time you'll ever see any coaches, myself, Crystal, or Sean in a meeting. We don't lead any other recovery meetings like that. And so, yeah, so it's a good time to connect with us. You get to hear what's going on in our lives. And, yeah, it's just it's a nice, relaxed time.
Yeah.
To just get to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are, I mean, because there's so many different recovery systems available in this town. I mean, we have AA, we have NA. I'm sure there's still a Overeaters Anonymous program going on. Then, of course, I'll get it this time.
So like Al-Anon or anything
Well, yeah, there's Al-Anon meetings.
Something else, yeah.
Yeah, and over at your church.
Oh, yeah, Restoration Night.
Restoration Night, yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew I would think of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have, I want to say it's like 17 to 19 classes that run throughout the year over there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about all the things. It's not just about being in recovery from substances or alcohol. It's like all the life things that can happen.
Hurts, habits, and hangups.
Yep. And yeah, and just a lot of really good things. I was just actually talking to Sherry today about how I thought Safe People was really helpful in understanding how to improve relationships, to know the things that you need to work on to be a safe person for people to be around and what to look for in others as mm-hmm. you're developing friendships or interpersonal relationships, or however you want to call it. Yeah. just and it's also, you know, being in community and going to groups like the AA and NA and all these kinds of things and Restoration Night. You know, we grow in community with each other, and we can heal in these safe spaces. And that's really how you're going to start walking out your recovery and growing and learning, is in community with people. You know, you have to come up against something to learn how to do your part. You know?
Right.
Yeah, that's the growing stuff. We can get into recovery. We can set down the drugs, alcohol, or whatever the things are, and let go of that. But to grow and learn, we need to do that with people.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You got to have that community around you. And, you know, even though Denise works for the recovery center, I mean, I've never had an issue with sharing other programs that are out or through other organizations like Real Life Church. I mean, it is a Christian based way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people look at AA and they go, well, there's no, I mean, yeah, it's a spiritual program of action, but, you know, my spirituality is Christian based. So I don't know if that's for me. Well, then
many different pathways.
Go,
Yeah, many different pathways in recovery. And even like what you are participating in can change in your recovery. I used to go to NA when I was early in recovery in the drug court program, and that was just super beneficial, and it's what I absolutely needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's grown into going to other things now. So like we're growing, we're learning, we're evolving, and whatever path we're on and whatever kinds of groups or people we need to be around to learn the next step, that can be growing and evolving. And there, and you, Johnny, have been in AA, and that one thing has stuck with you and has served you well, and it's been crucial. And it's, so it just depends on the person. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It works for me. Mm-hmm. But you know, AA is very upfront about the fact that, you know, there are many paths, mm-hmm. you know, and if AA is not working for you, keep looking. You know, for me, it's like losing my car keys. You know, when I find them, I stop looking. Well, I found the Alcoholics Anonymous program, and so far, so
good. It's been good for you. And you're giving back. You know, you help other people, and sharing, getting to share about your decades and decades in recovery is super, gives a lot of hope to other people that it can be done. You know, you give an example for what it can look like, you know, in 30 years and stuff like that, the different kinds of things you do. And so that's really important. And it's great that you're still there helping people. That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the strokes. I will suspend my...
We accept the kind words. Absolutely.
I will.
Especially when they're true.
I will. Yeah. Even when they're true.
Yeah.
It was like my dad said, always be sincere, even when you don't mean it. But that's a whole different thing. Well, hey, you know what? We're up against the clock here, Miss Denise. So
yeah, thanks, Johnny.
It's time to shut it down. And, again, next week, Dr. Valerie Russo will be here, and we'll get into this grief thing, and I'm looking forward to it. She's a really sharp cookie, and I think we're going to be able to learn some stuff. At least I'm hoping I will.
Well, so, that's going to be great. Thank you for having her on here.
Oh, absolutely. So I'll close it out with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with substances or alcohol or behavioral health problems, you probably do.